everyone will be meeting off. Welcome. Going to call the meeting to order. The first thing we're going to do is pledge allegiance to the flag. We've noticed that we don't have a flag, but we're going to pretend. So everybody visualize a flag and hands over the heart, and away we'll go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I mean, how much longer have you been?
I know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got quite a few people here tonight, so I'm going to go over the rules. The first item on the agenda is public comment. There's two public comment sections. This first public comment section has to do with only items that are on our agenda tonight. So if you would like to address any one of those items, you can do so during this segment. If you want to address something that's not on the agenda, you need to hold it to the end of the meeting, the last public comment section, and then we'll be able to address it there. I'm going to ask that if you want to speak, give me a sign that you want to be recognized. I'll recognize you. You'll have up to 3 minutes. We can go longer if the board decides that they want to hear more from you. And if you want to speak, please, when you start, announce your name and address and spell your last name for the record, please. So, we're going to open the public comment section. Who'd like to have something to say? Bob?
Yeah, regarding the fire station, the U.S. fire station that's being talked about, just want to make a couple comments to give you our opinion on that. And relative to the one site that's being talked about, I guess I better give you my name. Robert Monaco, Two Pinion, M-O-N-A-C-O. One of the sites that I understand is being looked at is the Bill Gang property that just closed with the Forest Service. And just for the record, we are totally against that site. The board and the citizens of Mountain Springs recently voted on that, and were under the impression that the Forest Service was going to purchase that, and that would be a good way of having that not developed versus being developed. And the other item is that the elk and the deer come from the meadows and use that frequently. We got tons and tons of pictures of the elk. And also, we feel like it would really impact the neighbors on Benedict and Maggie's house, and you'd be right behind my house. So I think that maybe there's some better sites that could be used. And one of the reasons that I think a lot of the people that live up there thought that would be a good idea for that to be purchased by the Forest Service was that it would become a buffer between the homeowners and the wilderness area. That area is surrounded on two sides by wilderness, and the access probably would be Benedict or Pinion, or very close to those two roads. So I just think it negatively impact that area. People got $1 million worth of investments in their homes in that area, and it would just not be a good thing.
Are they going to talk about that?
Yes.
It's on the agenda. We will talk about it when we get to it, but you can talk about it now if you'd like to.
I mean, you know where I'm at.
You need to tell us who you are, where you live.
Jim Burke, B-U-R-K-E, 18459, Matternea Place. The surveyors were down on at the clearing or landing that I call it, and they were looking at possible things. I don't know the scope of this entire thing, but I would welcome I mean, it, to me, it would bring a benefit not only to controlling what happens down there at the clearing, but to the whole community. I mean, I'm sure we've all played the dance with the insurance companies and fire departments. And, you know, it's every year it's another, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's
hazard
all.
Insurance is a little expensive up here on the mountain without a fire department.
Yeah. I'll tell you the trick to say.
Okay. I'll get back to you after the meeting. Tim, are you finished?
Yes.
Okay, ma'am.
Nanette Graham, 9250 Williams Ranch Road. And I too think it would be a great idea because we would have forestry up there all the time. And I guess I'm curious, will they have wells, water, so they don't have to go into Clark County to get water, or, you know, down the hill to get water? I mean, is that part of the plan?
Those are all good questions that hopefully they will address when we get to that item. If you have more questions you want to throw out and let them think about it by then, go ahead.
Oh, I think that's it. I just all for it. The idea of having forestry up there to be all the time is a blessing. You know, they'll be able to work from out and like they do out at Mount Charleston, you know, cutting dead trees and, you know. So that's all. Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, I got something to say.
Yeah. Paul Whistle?
Yeah.
Is that free opinion?
Who is representing the Bronco facility here right now? Do we have...
guys over there.
Where is he?
What can we answer for you?
Okay. I just wanted, for the record, so everybody knows, when our committee, our CAC, agreed to this operation here that you guys have, and it's, from what I can see, it's outstanding, it's wonderful, it's done very well. But I don't know if you knew this, but I just want to be on record with it. As part of the acceptance of us going along with this was to do what we're just doing here tonight, is to have access to the facility, which we're doing, and we didn't expect anything like that, but personally, I want to thank you for that. But
thank you.
Also included, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but we also included birthdays, weddings, funerals. Seriously, is this not true, Megan?
I plead the fifth. I have nothing to say about
okay.
Mitzvahs and every other holiday.
Well, it was my birthday. We can have my birthday.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not down there advertising that, but it was part of the approval, and we went through this several times in depth, and the people, the Bronco rep, said, yes, that's absolutely. So I just wanted that to be, not that I'm setting up and we're not asking for you to buffet anything, but I'm not even sure any of this will take place. I just wanted to make sure that it was noted, and that's the comment I had to make.
Noted.
I want to thank you again, and this is outstanding. You guys,
well, thank you very
it's
much.
Looking
we are,
good.
We are over the moon to be here. This is such a great facility. You know, this location is truly spectacular and is probably one of the more unique places, actually, not only in the country, but probably on the planet.
Absolutely. Look at this. So, view, you guys.
We're happy to be outstanding. Here. We're happy to be ambassadors, not only for Off Rodeo and Bronco and Ford Motor Company and Jackson Dawson, but also for the county here and for the town. So thank you. Thank you for having us.
I'd like to jump on what Paul said. And that is when we came up here, before, when you guys were looking for your permit, and we looked around at what was here. We had conversations about what you plan to do, how you plan to operate the facility, how many people were going to be coming in, how often. And a lot of we had conversations about a lot of different things. And I can look around right now and say, congratulations, you did everything that you said you were going to do. You did it well. And I have absolutely no complaints. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. I can't take the credit. I mean, so the team here on the ground, you know, Marco Torres, our site producer, you know, John Van Wagner, the old e-trail guy, Matt Demon, trail guy, our great catering company, Divine, right? You know, they've been phenomenal with us. A great partner to work with. So these folks, on a daily basis, do all of our work.
One other thing, maybe you weren't aware of this, but all the board members are supposedly having access to Broncos. I didn't know.
We're talking about that. Usually involves a cash transaction around midnight.
All right, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
All right, do we have any other questions or comments?
Yes.
Bob?
We're on subject. This question would be, I guess, for Linda. Since they, you know, I think most people in Mount Springs really want, you know, fire services increase that ability. Would the Department of Transportation be open to the idea of sharing the yard that's already...
We already do.
They with the Forest Service?
Yeah, the Forest Service stays up in our yard. Yeah. They used to bring trailers up there and stay up there. But it's just not possible anymore. First of all, they don't have anywhere to put their engines inside. They're on the outside. There's no water access.
Is that a move for that? To accommodate a built for that building?
Yeah. I just don't see it ever happening.
That is Forest Service.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry,
yeah, we
leased it. Okay. Any other questions, comments? Hearing none, we're going to move on with the agenda. We'll move on to item one, which is approval of the agenda for this meeting.
I make a motion to approve.
No second.
Okay. Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes. We have an agenda. Move to item two, informational items, sub-item one. Receive a report from Metro regarding recent activity statistics during the past month and other area policing concerns. We have anybody from Metro.
Hello,
good
everyone.
To see you.
Hey. I'm Officer Dave Stallon. I'm one of your resident officers out here. They don't really have much to report. You don't have crime in your area, which is great. I'm sure you've seen us up here quite a bit more.
Yeah.
We've been running radar on state
reports. And we've been loving you.
We will obviously try to continue to do that. There's obviously not streets for us to patrol up here, but we'll do the best we can with 160 and whatnot. If you have any questions for me, feel free to grab me after the meeting. I'll stick around.
Thank you for catching all those fears that give us sirens or not.
We try. I mean, obviously, we don't manage 160. That is the Nevada Highway Patrol. We're just more so coming up here just to kind of be up here to show the presence up here. There is a couple wrecks that have happened, you know, off 160. Thankfully, they haven't made it to anybody's homes. You know, that is a risk, obviously, with the high speed. Somebody loses control and let them go home up there. So we will still continue to try to be up there. And if you have any concerns, please call us. A lot of the rural communities feel like they're bothering us by placing calls. You're not a bother, okay? Please, if you have anything you're concerned about, call us. If the thought goes through your mind that you guys should call about that, you should already be on the phone and get a hold of one of us, and we'll come up here, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Excuse me.
I have a question.
What is the status of firearms right here on Post Road?
As far as like a county ordinance, or
yes,
so there is a county ordinance that there is no shooting. There's actually numerous ordinances.
I mean, you know, they're doing it right this minute. They were shooting as I drove by.
Well,
back in
there's two officers that are on duty at any given time up here. One, if one is on vacation, okay.
And you're responsible for an enormous.
I'm responsible for Sandy Valley, Good Springs, Prince,
yeah.
Red Rock.
I'm not expecting you. Yeah.
So, I determine my patrols based upon my call volume and calls for service. So if you call me, I will come there. And if you continue to call me, then I will know that that is a problem that I need to go patrol my home.
Problem.
Right now, my highest call for service areas are Sandy Valley and Flint. So that's the majority of where we focus our attention is Sandy Valley and Flint. And that's not to say that we don't drive through your areas just because,
right.
But it is... pick and choose from more, you know. So please, if there's problems like that, call us. I can guarantee we will respond.
Is that the Southern Command?
No, you need to call 311 or 911. Now, if you're having problems on 311, like it says, the number is not in service, you need to call the law, which is the area code 702-828-3111. That'll get you through to 311. Now, Sometimes there can be excessive hold times. There can be up to an hour, I found out, for hold times. And unfortunately, you know, that is something for a non-emergency line you can have to wait for. Now, if it is something that is occurring right then and there, like someone shooting down there, that is a 911 call. If you're calling about, hey, last week there was a suspicious car parked down my block, and I thought somebody needed to know about it, that happened a week ago, that's a 311 call. But if it's actually something that's occurring right then and there, you need to call on 911, and that'll get you right through. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
I've just been noticing recently that there seems to be a lot of either hitchhikers or homeless people that are traversing 159 and 160 really late at night. Do you have any information on that?
I don't. Again, that's going to be Nevada Highway Patrol that gets those calls. So when you call into, like, the police, okay, and it goes to the dispatcher, if you call in and you say, hey, there's a problem on State Route 160, a lot of times they do not notify us. They call the Nevada Highway Patrol. The call gets transferred straight to the Nevada Highway Patrol. I would recommend maybe saying, hey, can you notify the resident officers? And then the dispatcher, that'll cue the dispatcher, and hey, I need to notify the little guys. A lot of times they'll forget about it. They'll transfer the call to who has primary jurisdiction.
Okay.
We like those calls because then we know that there's a problem with it. So please call us and let us know anything at all, really.
So that's a 311, because I've seen them coming up really late at night, and it's like freezing.
If they're in the middle of the roadway, that's illegal, for one. Two, it's a safety hazard, though. They can get hit by a car. There's no lights out there. They're not supposed to be on that roadway. It is not a pedestrian access roadway. So, yeah, you can call 911 or something like that. Because, again, it is occurring right then and there.
Okay.
Something's happened. Now, the dispatcher may transfer you to 311. That may happen. But that's for them to call screen with their policies and procedures. Any other questions?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll move to sub item number two, a report from BLM law enforcement about recent events and public lands policing.
Can make it today.
No BLM today? No. All right, well, who's next? Sub item three, receive a report from Clark County Administrative Services regarding a fall cleanup, upcoming NDOT public meetings, regarding the State Route 160 corridor project, and any other updates you may have.
All right. So, I know the cleanup we did in the spring was a success. Do you guys think that we need to have one this fall? Do we want to have the dumpsters come up?
Yes.
Is there a time that you prefer, or do you just want me to see when I can schedule them and just schedule?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. The latter. All right.
A question on that.
Yeah.
Megan.
Yeah.
If you're going to schedule it, then the question is going to be, how are we going to get the information out to the community?
I will email all of you guys, and I think you have a Nextdoor thing, and maybe you guys can share it on Nextdoor. I don't have everyone's email, so I will email the board, and you guys can share it.
Okay.
If I can just put in, if it could be a little bit before it gets too cold,
sure.
That would be preferable.
Yeah, I'll look mid-October. Does that sound good? Okay.
Okay.
Yes, on our part. I mean, my family part. What?
Yes, on our my family's
okay.
Part.
And we have, the last two times we've had them on the frontage roads on both sides of the highway. Does that still work? I heard that worked good last time.
Yeah,
all
that
right.
Was nice.
So we'll do it the same as it's been done before. NDOT, they had come up to our meeting a few months ago to talk about the corridor study that they're doing on 159 and 160. They are going to have public meetings coming up the 19th through the 22nd. They're every evening, through the Monday through Thursday, the 22nd. I meant to print out the schedule, and I'm sorry, I forgot that. I will send it to the board when those meetings are, if you guys want to share that. It's just, they're all public meetings. I appreciate they're doing it four nights in a row so that everybody has maybe an opportunity to go there. They're going to be talking about the results of the study and what they have found so far with that. So I will send that out to everybody. And that's all I have.
Okay, on NDOT, could you make a note that the area lights on High 160 are not lit? And
what do you mean area lights?
The street lights.
Yeah. Okay.
And also, just a little forward, going west, they have a light there that, they got them up, and I'm sure
the street light by the fire station?
No, just
by Potosi, right?
Yeah, right past the Potosi turnoff. There's another I guess you call it a street light that is it's never been illuminated.
Okay.
So I mean, we got the lights there. They need to fire them up.
Yeah, and are we going to get our radar speed sign back?
That's my question.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well,
radar speed sign. Thank you.
They ordered.
Yeah.
It's on back order.
It's on the water.
We're waiting for China.
And the same with the street lights. They cannot locate the boxes that all the hookups are in. I mean, they searched. They took plans. I mean, they work tirelessly. So I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe rewire them.
Like 2 years.
Yeah.
I want them down there plowing snow, you know, and
right,
one right turn around.
So I'll follow up on that, and we have a partial answer, so I will get see if we can get a date of when they may be able to do that. I do know from Clark County Public Works we're having resource issues finding things to replace things, so it may be something like that.
It might be easier just to buy a new one instead of parts.
Maybe.
Megan,
all right, anything else for me?
Yeah, what's the status of our new secretary?
I will introduce Christopher Chong Wan. He is our executive assistant for Commissioner Jones, and he is going to be working as our secretary.
He's going to be what?
He's going to be working as our secretary.
Oh, okay.
He has graciously agreed to do it. I don't think he had much of a choice.
Okay.
So this is Chris. You'll be talking to Chris, and you'll be getting emails.
Good to have you on board, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
It's good to start out with an evening like this so we can make him think his salary is.
Okay, I'm good.
Anything else for county administration? Okay, we'll wrap that up. We don't have anything on planning and zoning. We'll go to general business. Mr. Ray Dombrowski from the United States Forest Service Fire Management Officer is going to share our information about current issues and activities in the forest.
I'll come over here with a backdrop so people don't have to use that. Like you mentioned, my name is Ray Dombrowski. I'm the District Fire Management Officer for the Spring Mountain National Recreational Area. Deb Mayer apologized that she wanted to, Deb McNeil, sorry, apologized for not being able to make it. She had a meeting and told us all this week, couldn't break away. So something that I've been doing the last year, I've been here on the Spring Mountains. I came from California for the last 24 years. I fought fire in California and relocated here last year. Is at the Town Advisory Board meeting at Mount Charleston. Share information of what we're doing, you know, fire stats, our Forest Service law enforcement stats that affect you living next to the National Forest. And since we didn't have a meeting last month, and this is the first time I've been to this meeting collectively, I wanted to give like a year-round statistic or fire occurrence on the Spring Mountains. And of course, there's buried in the paperwork. So, just for awareness, we've been very fortunate last year and this year have been very slow fire occurrence and size fires. So, this year to date, from January 1st till now, we've had 17 fires on the Forest Service lands between here all the way up to Cold Creek on the Spring Mountain National Recreational Area. And total acres burned, 1.70 acres. So we've been very fortunate. We were very fortunate to get Mother Nature's help with the monsoons. It came with a lot of lightning, but a lot of rain, so that helped us out quite a bit. A couple of the things I wanted to let you guys know, early on this year, our very first fire of the season, it was called the Brome Fire down here in Lovell Canyon. It was a torched out Jeep Gladiator left out there and burned sometime beginning of the year. So obviously something that, you know, people are using the National Forest land for other, what it's designed for. But out of our fire occurrence, we've had only 5 lightning fires and 12 human-caused fires, that one being one potential arson. We've never proved that it was intentionally set or accidentally set because it was burned up. And then we had another vehicle fire in Kyle Canyon and a trailer fire in Lee Canyon. So we do get some human-caused fires that are not malicious or negligent, but the remainder of the fires were usually an abandoned campfire. And some fireworks around the 4th of July, even though it's illegal to have fireworks on national forest lands and federal lands in general, people still try to have fireworks. In fact, somewhere between the county volunteer fire station and Lowell Canyon, somebody decided to light fireworks off on the 4th of July. So kind of give you an outlook of what our fire occurrence is on a slow year. With the grass, the monsoon we got this year, and the grass that came up after that, we'll see what next year brings and what Mother Nature gives us as far as weather conditions. Our law enforcement, we normally have two law enforcement officers on. Right now we only have one. One is out with an injury. At the Mount Charleston meeting 2 weeks ago, was that 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. There was about 100 occurrences of law enforcement activity on the National Forest, most of which in the Lee, Kyle area. Periodically they will cite individuals down here in Lovell. They had a person staying in Lovell on National Forest land past the 14-day allotment, and she's leaving tomorrow. So with tenacity, we get through the challenges and work the process and make sure people follow the rules. Like I said, I'm a district fire management officer. We've been pretty busy sending folks out on other fires across the nation throughout the year. You've probably seen on the news. With our agreement with Clark County Volunteer Fire Station, sometimes you see our engine there, sometimes you don't. Because of staffing, we try to staff our trucks where we feel the threat is based on holiday occurrence or use occurrence. So if sometimes this engine is off course on a fire assignment, other times it's covering other areas. So we try to maintain a presence down here in the southern half of the district. With that, people have asked or talked about a new fire station, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I bring a gift, nicely wrapped, is we are getting ready to release wood permits on the forest, hopefully about October 1st. They'll be available. The press release should be going out by the end of this week or next week. And I can't tell you exactly where the wood is because you go there and get it before we release it. But within a 30-ish minute drive,
we're not that ambitious.
There's a couple places that you'll be able to access firewood with a 2-quart maximum. And then the news release will have the maps and then the permits, or how to gain the permits so you guys can gather firewood for the winter time. So
I'll share that with you guys when it comes out.
There's your package.
Hopefully they don't sell more permits than they would. You did that to me a couple years ago.
So most of our wood is in Kyle right now. If people want to drive to the Kyle borrow pit, when those wood tags become available, and the energy just has a tree removal. We do have an abundance of split wood up there. It is a drive, I understand that, but pretty easy gathering. But the stuff here, like I said, talking to our fuels officer, it's about a 30-minute drive, maybe a little bit more, depending on how fast or slow you drive on our roads, you'll be able to get some wood out of the local area, and you don't have to drive all the way up to Kyle Canyon. So with that, there's been talk of this fire station. A little background before we move forward. Like I mentioned earlier, I started here the last day of August last year, and was gifted a whole bunch of good things and things I had to learn. And so one of the things that had already happened about a year and a half ago was the round 18 SNPLA implementation or entry to put in for grants for SNPLA dollars, Southern Nevada Public Lands Act, where they use some of the BLM sold off properties to fund other projects and infrastructure within the National Forest and Federal Public Lands agencies. And so somebody before me, my predecessor, put in for a fire compound, fire station down here in Mountain Springs. That resembled a lot of very similar to our Kyle Fire Station up on Middle Kyle up on Mount Charleston area, and talking with some locals that have been around here for a while. That was the fourth time that we put in for that grant, finally it was awarded. So this process of us trying to get a foothold down here in Mountain Springs has gone on for about a decade. And we appreciate the NDOT yard for hosting us, keeping our truck safe, because we don't have an engine bay to secure it at night. And we thank Clark County for the use of their yard to hold a couple of tough sheds for guys to work out of with their computers or cache our equipment so it's secure and it's out of their way. But this gave us the opportunity to build our own facility and have a foothold as an agency down here for fire. But, you know, as you hear and see about transients on the forest, people torching vehicles on National Forest land, we could build up our prevention program, have an office for law enforcement to work out of, and then, you know, even look at some of the recreational wants and needs down here with the mountain bikes happening, you know, legally and illegally in areas, and maybe, you know, corral people into certain areas for camping and, you know, so that it doesn't affect the community. And so with that, we put in the money, or put in the want for the money, and we got it awarded to us sometime in the fall. And we haven't even broke ground. We're still in the process of figuring out where we can go. But part of that is we have an area that is three areas that were identified. Actually, four. I don't remember the gentleman's name. You said his name, the private property?
Oh, Bill Gage. He owned two pieces, but the one that just sold recently.
And so with that...
It's hard to get a bearing on this.
So, yeah, if it reads normal. So, option A... Correct. So the map is kind of hard to read, but option A used to be option AB, and the purchase of the gentleman's property had nothing to do with changing. It just happened after the fact that we had submitted the proposal, and so because it wasn't a change, we just kind of absorbed that acreage that was purchased from the gentleman. Earlier in March, we started to liquefy some of the dollars so that we can start doing some of our studies. The drones that somebody talked about, we've had the ground surveyed. We've had a couple field trips of individuals coming from our forest home office in Sparks, Nevada, the Humboldt Tiabe Supervisory Office, and we've also had people come down here from Ogden, Utah, the Intermountain Region Regional Office, to help us move forward. And so we have three options on the table that are part of the SNPLA plan, but none of them have been decided because the one property, option A, is in the Pahrump Basin. It's closed watershed basin. We don't have water rights. And we've been told we can't move water from the Vegas, Clark County Hydrological Basin into the Pahrump Basin, so we have to get water rights to even move forward in Pahrump. Option D on the map is it's right below the cell tower there on the east side of Mountain Springs, and there's some dirt work to be had, but we have water rights in that watershed part of Kyle that we could transfer partial rights down there, dig our own well, and then feed the fire station the way we need to feed it, and hopefully not be a hindrance to the water system here. But with that, we still have feasibility study with NDOT, make sure we don't need ingress, egress lanes, deceleration lanes, if they have to do anything with the center median. There's a whole bunch of other stuff we have to look at.
For that, we also have to look at water rights, if you know, to move forward in Pahrump, or you know, to transfer from Kyle to Mountain Springs. We still have a year or two before we even think about breaking ground. That's a reality. So, with that, there's still other studies that have to happen to validate that where we're putting it, we're not putting it on something that was forgotten about historically or is a threatened endangered species or habitat for a threatened endangered species. So there's still some processes we have to go through. I think, Rob, you asked about the NEPA, and I didn't have a whole lot of time but to go through it. But I think some of the NEPA, like I said, this process goes back over 10 years. Some of the NEPA was out of the 2010 NEPA process that happened at that time. I'm not 100% sure. As we move forward, Deb and I would love to be a part of these meetings so that we can share information and receive information from the community so we can make the best decisions for us and for the community. So,
thank you.
So,
we would greatly appreciate your participation
yes.
and ongoing dialogue
yes.
on this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I really appreciate the feedback on it. Just the general, you said similar to the one in Kyle Canyon.
Yes.
What the size, scope, the size of the facility are you talking
3.5-4 acres.
4 acres?
3.5-4 acres is what we're using currently at the Kyle station. So when we had the engineers from the regional office from Ogden, Utah come down, they came down and met with myself and the project lead, and we did some surveying on the ground, talked to them, looked at some stuff, and they were still kind of like, well, will this space work? And they had a meeting with Clark County that they had to meet because the gentleman was going to leave early that day, so they rushed off to downtown to deal with him. I said, if you have time, go up to Kyle Canyon, map that. That's what we want to do. You know, it's a puzzle. We can move stuff around. It doesn't have to look identical, but that's the amount of footprint we need. And so they mapped it out and said it was about 3.5-4 acres of what we're using with driveways, parking access. The rudimentary dimensions would be the barracks building. A lot of our fire stations have barracks for seasonal workforce to stay at during the summer. And it's not glorious living. It's not the Hilton. But it's about a 1,900 square foot house that will house 10 people, single story. With a kitchen and a day room and a dining room and a utility room with the washers and dryers. So nothing too grand and over the top. The engine bay, which will be engine bay storage and office space, rudimentary 4,500 square feet building, single story. We don't, Forest Service doesn't have poles that we slide down to respond to the fire, so everything's you know, and so 40 foot by, you know, 1,900 foot building, plus or minus, because not all buildings are perfectly square or rectangle. And then I want to say somewhere in that, the barracks that we have currently in Kyle Canyon, it, once again, it's like an L shape, so looking at measurements, you know, 32 by 60. You know, somewhere in there, but it, earlier I did the math on the square footage, and it was about 1,900 square feet for that.
So it's a decent sized facility. It's not like our little station.
It won't be like the volunteer fire station. It'll be a little bit more robust. We have to have storage. You know, one of our hopes, visionary, is we live in the desert. We don't have a lot of water sources, except where you have 200,000 gallons. But we want to put a hella well on the facility. So if we have an event where we have a large fire, we need helicopter support, that they would have a close water source that they can dip out of. And so that is something that we're striving for. And then, you know, that 3.5-4 acres of admin site, we would like to have a buffer around it that would kind of hide it, you know, with the aesthetics of the natural landscape. And we want to fence in the property to secure it. Where I came from in Northern California, any facility that was out in the woods got vandalized and things got stolen out of there through the winter, you know, because
It's right beside my house. I'll watch it for you.
My old district work center, we had $70,000 stolen in one night. They stole snowmobiles, UTV. I mean, they daisy chained all night long. 12 chainsaws, a bunch of tools. We had security cameras on the building. The only thing we can identify is every time they breached the doorway to go get more stuff, there was another charge. But we did find out who did it. I think they did 9 months. So, yes, sir.
I used to work for the water district, and I know this sounds a little extravagant, but there were pump stations that were built in neighborhoods, and as a way of making it look nice, they actually built the pump stations to look like the surrounding houses.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that, you might want to talk to your architect and see if they can't do like a timber frame with style looking structure that would enhance the area.
Well, like I said, if you're familiar with the visitor center at the gateway on Kyle and the volunteer or the fire station lower Kyle, it's a very rustic copper and stone,
yep.
And so it's very earthy, and even though it's a very large facility, it does blend in. It's not gaudy. It's not a color that would just stand out. Once again, where I came from, Northern California, Cal Fire would paint their stations like this mint green, and it's like you'd see that thing for miles around. We're not going to do that, I promise you.
Is the desire on the location to keep it fairly close to the highway so you've got good access? And in some places where it is right now, you'd have access to the highway in one direction, but not the opposite direction.
That is a want. The biggest want and need is close enough to infrastructure so that we don't have to run 2 miles of electrical and phone lines up Potosi, you know, and to engineer the road in a way that we could put engines on there and make sure that we're going to be mindful of erosion and winter conditions. So being close to a pavement road and then the infrastructure, having phones and power. We know we're going to have to do our own well, and we know we're going to have to do our own septic. And then propane for any gas stuff. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I understand that some of that funding, $17 million, is to accommodate egress and stuff on the Highway 162, right? So if you have to.
If the NDOT comes up with a feasibility study to do that, yes. Once again, we're at the infancy stages, so if we come up with a plan that we don't have to go immediately left, we can go down and make a U-turn to go east, and we'd be in a location to go west, and vice versa, and we can prove to it. I think the deceleration, the acceleration lanes are probably going to be where that money gets spent. And like I said, this is so infancy in our process. The money only got, small portion of the money got liquefied in March, and here we are in August. So, I mean, that's how much we've actually committed currently to the program. And talking with our project manager, the last trip that we went out to the field together, 24, this time 24, we'll probably be breaking ground. So that kind of gives you an idea how much more work we have before we commit to one site or another.
So that area that's below the tower is a big open parking lot right now.
We're going to be up mid slope.
So would you pave that or do something with that? Because that's kind of a...
I don't know yet. That, once again, we've talked about the road going up there, that coming off the highway, that would be paved and going up there to be able to get an engine up the hill and a vehicle coming down the hill and not having, you know, a traffic situation, and then engineering it to deal with that weight and deal with the runoff. You know, and you can see it right now after the monsoons, there's a lot of
ruts
and the snow in the winter. So, but as far as us doing that whole parking area, that I don't know, because I don't know who owns all that dirt. We only have a portion of that dirt. And that's the dirt side closer to the hill. I will be here through the remainder of the meeting. I apologize for taking so much time from this meeting. I appreciate everyone's comments and questions, but I'll be here. And once again, I want this to be a relationship with us and you guys, so we work together as we move forward.
I have one final question. As on the map, mm-hmm. we've got options A, C, and D.
Yeah.
B seems to be missing, but there's a big white square in the middle. Was that option B?
No. A was A and B with the private property dividing them. Mm. And when we put the, I missed the gentleman's name again, but that piece of property was divided. A was on the highway, or B was on the highway. A was up the hill, up the slope more. Mm-hmm. And so
this was A, B, this was private, and then this was A up here.
Mm-hmm.
But when we acquired this piece of property, it was all recreated to A, so B does not exist.
Okay.
And then the downside with option C was the archery range there, utilizing what they need for their permit. We don't know we would get into there with the facilities we have.
Can you give me a quick reference? What is this road here? Or here?
This is the 160.
Yeah.
This should be the access to the archery range. And I'm not sure what road this is. This is on the, there's a drainage right here. Yeah. And then the volunteer fire station is here now.
Okay, so that's Williams Ranch over
and
there.
And then this is the wilderness, but this is where that repeater tower is. Mm. And then this parking area is pretty much right in here. So I think that tower's right here.
Okay.
So option. And so the biggest thing is water rights.
Should we only use Las Vegas, then we're pretty much stuck in option B. And nobody's selling Pahrump Basin rights currently, so we can't move forward on that one currently. But we'd like to be a part of all your meetings, so we can bring over information as it comes available. And hopefully, if you guys don't have anything on the agenda, but we do, hopefully you guys can help us disseminate information.
Okay. Anything
I'll put
else?
It as a standing item on the agenda so that if they want to come, they have to be
great.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll be here. If you want to ask questions, I'll be here for you.
Okay, we're going to go to item 4, sub item 2. Representatives from Bronco Rodeo will share information, updates about their site and their activities. Bronco time!
Well, I think we covered most of this earlier, so really the only thing we would like to say at this point is just, again, thank you for welcoming us into your community. We're happy to be here and proud to be a partner with everyone in the area. So with that, I will yield back any time we have left.
Thank you.
Any questions by anybody about Bronco facility? Okay.
Good.
Sub item 3, Clark County Deputy Fire Chief.
Thank you, folks from Bronco. This place is amazing. I just wanted to try to introduce myself to you tonight. My name is Brian O'Neill. I'm an assistant chief with the Clark County Fire Department. Fairly new to this position. It's been about 6 months for me. This is the first time I've been able to come out to this meeting. I've got 20 years on the fire department with Clark County. I was a firefighter engineer. I've been a paramedic for almost that entire time, and I maintain that certification. I was a captain for the previous 10 years before I was promoted to this position. I worked at various stations around town, mostly on the Strip, a couple years out of Mountain's Edge at Station 66, which commonly runs up here in this area. Spent a couple years at the Fusion Center, worked really closely with Metro, and got a chance to work with active shooter response and some of the tactical medicine type stuff that we do in the fire service. I'm really grateful to be in this position, and I'm happy to be here. Like Ray said, I'll stick around again. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have, and I'm always available through the liaison, through Megan, or through the fire chief, Charles Hoover, who's in the back, who works out of the station there in Mountain Springs. As most of you probably know, the station chief that has been out at the station retired recently. He was out there for, I believe, over 20 years. So he spent a good deal of time in the area. He was the last firefighter that lived in the community in Mountain Springs, so we have about half a dozen people that come up and do shifts there. They're required to do 24 hours a month as a shift. Chief Hoover lives out in Rump. He does about 3 or 4 days a week of about a 10-hour shift, I believe. So he's out there more frequently than anybody else is, especially the people that work out of the or that live out of the areas, because we do have 10 stations that are all over the county. So so this one, for an example, he's doing quite a bit of work for us and for you. That station there runs about 120 calls a year, so it's not running a call every day, but it does pick up calls pretty frequently, and he's there running the majority of those calls. To contrast that, our stations in town run about 5,000 calls a year per station, so they're doing pretty high call volume. And our busiest volunteer station is the one out in Sandy Valley that does about 350 to 400 calls a year. I did bring with me a couple of sign-up forms. These are QR codes, so if you scan these with your phone, it'll take you to our sign-up page. If you know someone that would like to volunteer for the fire department and work out of that station, you can scan that. It'll take you straight to our page. If you know someone that may want to, but you don't yourself, you can take a picture of it, show them that on your phone, they'll scan it, and they'll take them to that landing page where they can go to our recruitment area. So that's for the firefighter recruitment. The process for the volunteers is a little bit less strenuous than the ones that we do in town for the career folks, but it is about 5 weekend days where they learn hazmat skills, fire suppression. We put them in turnouts. There's a physical assessment to make sure that you can physically do the job. You have to wear an air pack and be fitted with a respirator, and it's a physically demanding job. And so the standards on that side of it don't change a whole lot, but we do have some older folks that are able to come on and go through the academy and come out as firefighters. Okay? And then in addition to the firefighter rank, we do have EMTs. So if you have an EMT background or if you want to go to an EMT class, we can send you to the class, pay for it, and then you can serve as a volunteer EMT and respond out of the station to medical calls. If that is a little bit more intense than what you're looking for, we do have a CERT program, Community Emergency Response Team. Are you guys familiar with CERT? So CERT is volunteers in the community. Again, it's a volunteer program. They take a series of 6 classes, and then they can respond to emergencies as an official CERT responder. The CERT curriculum are things like doing an assessment of your building after a natural disaster. So if we had an earthquake or fire come through the area, flood, flash flood, anything like that, if you had a problem in your building, you could report that. You could shut off the utilities. If anybody was injured, you could get them help. There's a stop the bleed program where we teach you how to use tourniquets and back bleeding wounds, arterial wounds, and venous bleeding. So there's a series of 6 classes with that, and it just helps you become more prepared to deal with emergencies in your community. So an example of something that we may use CERT for, if we had to have an evacuation of this town, if there was a wildfire that came through here and threatened everyone's homes, we would have to set up a temporary shelter facility for people to go to if they were going to lose their home, and we would need people to staff it, to direct people in, to receive donations from the Red Cross, from Salvation Army, distribute food, things like that. So we would staff those with volunteers, but we need to know who those volunteers are. And we can't do that when the disaster hits. We need to already know who those people are, already have a roster of people that we can call and bring those in to supplement our crews that are going to be out there dealing with the emergency. So that would be one example of a way that we would use CERT. So if CERT is something that interests you more, there's a sign up for that. Again, it's a QR code. You can scan it with your phone, and we would be happy to start processing that information, put you through our background checks, and get you on with the CERT program. I wanted to talk real briefly about a comment that I heard earlier about the fire station. We have a long-standing partnership with the Forest Service to staff out of that fire station there. I think it goes back about 20 years, so well before Ray and myself were in our positions. It's a partnership, and we rely on the Forest Service to provide staffing and and the emergency management piece that we can't when we're not able to staff our own station, because volunteers, like I've been talking about, volunteers are not staffing 24 hours a day. They're not there all the time, and currently we're very low in our staffing levels, right? So we need partners to be able to provide the response to emergencies that may come up. So they've been an amazing partner for us. They're able to stay at that station for as long as they need to. It's an indefinite relationship that we have, so don't feel like you have to look for somewhere else to live because we're kicking you out or anything like that. It can go on indefinitely, but at the same time, it's a very small station that was built in the late 1970s. It's difficult to house the equipment that we try to put there, as well as the people, and there's not a lot of services that can maintain the workforce that we need to work out of that station. So them building a station nearby is going to protect everybody's lives and property, and that's really what we want at the end of the day. And then the last thing was having the station as a buffer to the wilderness area that I think you talked about a little bit earlier. The fire station itself is not going to provide that buffer. It's up to you as homeowners and us as responders to try to protect and help you protect the property that you do have. But, just the presence of a fire station isn't going to provide that. It's on all of us to deal with the risks that we have when we live in this wildland type area. And, we understand why people want to live here because it's beautiful, but we do have to take steps to protect the investment that we have. And that's why, you'll introduce her on your next agenda item, but Kelly's here and she'll be able to speak to that more thoroughly. Okay, so I'll be here at the end. I'll be happy to answer any more questions that you have.
Any questions for the Deputy Fire Chief?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next item is Kelly Novellis, Fire Adapted Nevada Partnership Coordinator with Forest Service.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you, Chief, for putting me on the agenda and inviting me here. Great segue into what my program is. I'm the Fire Adapted Nevada Coordinator for the state of Nevada, and I work under a grant program. My position is funded, but my program's not. So having the partnerships with the fire districts and BLM, the Forest Service, is how my program works. What my program tries to do is to get, what the Chief said, is fire-adapted communities. What a fire-adapted community is, exactly what the Chief was saying, is the residents of the communities taking responsibility for their properties in creating defensible space, home hardening, doing their due diligence to do the best that they can, that in the case of a wildfire, they need little to no assistance from the firefighters. As the Chief just talked about, the resources are so limited, and again, just having that fire station doesn't make you safe. What will make you safe is you guys knowing that you've done everything you can, that if a fire does come through, your chances go up of saving not only your lives, your property, but ours as firefighters as well. So we consider all of the communities and the homeowners partners in our fight to save and to save our wildfires and to prevent as much as we can to prevent those wildfires. NDF came through your community about 2 months ago. We did a risk assessment. So you're like, how do I know? What do I need to do? Know your risk. And by knowing that risk can really help you move forward. So what we did is we did a community risk assessment. What we look at on that is we went through the whole community of Mountain Springs. Bring this up. We assessed the whole area, we assessed the number of homes. We did not go onto anybody's property, so we had to look up, the best we could with how many homes we assessed. We assessed what's your suppression rate? Do you have water? Do you have fire hydrants?
No fire hydrants.
Structure hazard ratings. What do the houses look like? Do they have shaped roofs? Do they have vegetation growing out of the eaves? What we looked at. Every single thing we rated in Mountain Springs came out extreme. You guys are 15 points below the highest extreme rating you could have on everything. So your hazard rating score was a 238, your suppression hazard rating is extreme, your surrounding environmental hazard, which includes topography, geography, vegetation. As you can see, we've got winds, crosswinds, everything that you have access, one in, one out, all of that was looked at. So that being said, we have that information, and we also, in that rating, give mitigation recommendations. So what can we do to help you protect your program, your community? So I've been working with Clark County Fire as well, and our teams, we would come in and help your community do some of those suppression, whether it's creating fire breaks, vegetation removal, stuff like that. So becoming a FireWise community, FireWise is a program, is also a it's a nationally recognized program under the International Association of Fire Chiefs. It's grant funded. What we try to do is get communities to get together. I only need 8 houses to form a FireWise community. So if there's 8 residents in here that wanted to do that, what that does is it's a neighborhood ambassador. We put that together, little board, to say, hey, I want to sign up for FireWise. What my program helps you do is get those mitigation efforts in, whether we're just doing defensible space inspections, which my program does. If you guys want defensible space inspections on your home, let me know, and our fire crews will come out and do a defensible space inspection. Hey, Chief, can you guys do PSI?
No,
we don't. No, okay. So, we'll do that for you. And then knowing what you need to do. All of those efforts would go into that application for becoming a FireWise community. The only thing that's required of that is, other than logging any vegetation or mitigation efforts you do, or Clark County does, or we do with you, you just log that in, and you have one event a year, this could be it, is that you just have the community engaged in knowing what your fire risks are continually. Anything that's changed in the environment, anything that's changed in your community, anything, you know, you think is a risk or needed to be addressed, that's what that does. So, in becoming a FireWise community, also scores you points higher if you guys were to apply for a grant, which we would do under Clark County, would apply for that grant for you. So that scores you higher in any grant mitigation process. We are working right now with the chief to apply for a community wildfire defense grant. In doing that, we have to update a community wildfire protection plan. That's a daunting task in itself. So the fact that we did the risk assessment goes to the chief, so he can actually update his wildfire mitigation plan and risk assessment that they have just for Clark County for his district. So that would go into that, and then he would apply for the grant. So we are working on that to try to get some mitigation efforts in here. My fire crews at NDF are also trying to find some funding to help us get back into this community, because you are our priority list down to the south. Kind of, we're a little behind the curve out here, because it seems like the South hasn't got a lot of love for wildfire, because apparently most of the state thinks that the desert's not going to burn. So they're in for a shock if the fire ever comes through here. So what my program is trying to do is to kind of get everybody back on board to understand their risk, take that responsibility, and take action. Another program I also promote is called Ready, Set, Go. Chief is where that is under the fire districts. That's under the International Association of Fire Chiefs for evacuation planning in case of wildfire, and the chief has signed up for Ready, Set, Go. There's some funding opportunities under that as well. They help you plan for evacuation. So everybody's like, great, 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 wildfire. What happens if you have to go? What do you need to know to go? So what do you guys? Do you guys have a plan out? You have a one way in, one way out. So knowing that, in case of wildfire, is how you're going to get where you need to go. I have more information than you could possibly want over here.
Sound
so please take that. And on the evacuation planning, I know the chief's got a task on that, because he has to plan with not only emergency management services, but that includes the police. It also includes Forest Service, everybody that's around the community. So that's a daunting task to get an evacuation drill up here, but at least knowing in just your community where you go and working with you do the best you can, he would know this is what we would expect you to do. So that's part of my program as well. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, but becoming a fire-adapted community is so important because, again, resources are limited. Just on the NDF side, we have a budget just for firefighting of $4 million in the whole state. So we have to go to the legislature and ask for money every year. We lost the camp crews. I know you guys are familiar with our conservation crews. That's the prison crews. We had 9 camps. Right now we have 6. And they're not fully staffed because under COVID, when the governor released the convicts, he also created another law where they don't have to come back to camps, any criminals, they can do community service. Well, that doesn't help us. So we're convict poor. Okay. So that's being said. We had to find ways for firefighters this year. We worked with the National Guard. We created two Type 1 crews, which are just, you know, basic fire crews, to assist us if we have any wildfires. Thank God we haven't needed them. But that being said, they're weekend warriors, and it would take $24 to $48 just to mobilize them. So that's how short-staffed we are. So, and again, Brian was saying his crews are fed, so if they're off on a fire, who are you going to get? You know, Chief's fire crews are what, 30 minutes up here?
Oh, yeah.
And you have the same thing. So that's why we ask you guys to do the best you can, to partner with us to help you help us. So, any questions?
Yeah. You guys help? Help us trim the trees.
Hmm?
Really? Let's see.
Hey. Trees.
Need to get your car.
Yes, absolutely. So what we'd like to do on that is we have at least 5 to 10 homeowners that want a defensible space inspection, so it makes our crews to come up here once in a while. So we would just plan that with our.
So they do the inspection.
And if they can, it just depends on how that funding works and be on the property to do the building and stuff, and we certainly give you the project. But in order for us to come and help you, we ask you guys to be finalized first. We ask you guys to do the step to become a finalized community, and then as part of my program, you guys can be finalized and come and help you. Any questions? I also have information on pet evacuation too, because you would not believe how many people forget their pets. So I have a checklist for that. So. Oh, you have? Okay, good. Any other questions for me? So, again, thank you so much. Like I said, it's just me for the whole state, so I have a daunting task of 55,000 communities to get firewood. So, I have none down here, so you guys could be my first. Like I said, it only takes 8 homes to be a firewood community, that's all they ask, and it's not a big task. It's just inputting. It's all click the box, and then you only have to update it every year and have an action plan of what your 3-year action plan on what you're going to do to keep the community safe and work with the chief and myself.
Is your contact information on the literature?
No, I would be on about some cards.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kelly. Next item is select a representative and possible alternate to serve on the Community Development Advisory Committee.
So this is something we do every year. Community Development Advisory Committee is a group that gives input on the community development block grant funds that come from the federal government. Tanya has done it for many years. Are you interested in continuing?
I'll continue.
Okay.
If you're interested.
So,
unless somebody else really wants to, then then they may.
So I would need a motion for Tanya to be the representative. And then
I'm first going to ask, is there anybody else that would like to do it? Would like to volunteer? Then I will make a motion that we nominate Tanya to provide this.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I enjoy it more than I thought I would.
And I've heard that from a lot of people, that they find it very interesting mm-hmm. and rewarding. Okay, so our last item is the thing we do every year, and I know it's frustrating for everybody every year, but state law requires I do it. So every year we come to you and ask for your wish list of budget requests for the future. If there were to be windfall of money at the county, what would you like to happen in your community? So this is a two-step process tonight. We'll talk, I'll give you a review on what was asked for before. Next month we will come up with a list of what you want to ask for. So last year our list was a cemetery and community center. So I'm pretty sure we're working with Forest Service that there will be space in the fire station for meetings and stuff, but it wouldn't be an actual community center. So those are the two things you asked for before. You haven't gotten either one. That's your update, unfortunately. So be thinking about things like that. Those are the types of things In other communities, they ask for like a community pool or a skate park or things like that. So those are the types of things we're talking about. So be thinking about it. Next month, we'll come up with a list. And then once we have the list, I send it to our different departments. So if, you know, an opportunity comes up, they know what you want. All right? That's it for me.
All right. We're going to move to our last item on the agenda, which is comments by the general public. This is the time when you can say whatever's on your mind about any topic at all. It doesn't have to pertain to the agenda in any way, shape, or form. So the floor is open. I got a gentleman in the back.
I was going to say, when you guys schedule your community cleanup day up there, when the dumpsters come out and everything, if anybody needs help with their cleanup or they want to start creating defensible space, let me know. I'll get as many volunteers as I can get up there.
All right, I'll coordinate with you for
great. Thank you.
That's very nice of you. Thank you. Yeah.
Chuck.
I'd like to go a couple things what Kelly said. You folks have been here for a long time. The old days when they wanted to volunteer, they blew the siren up on the station. Hmm. And if that siren still works, I was here maybe about a couple of months and I, what the hell is this? And I pushed the button and it went off. And I had no idea what it was. Oh my God. Well, I came from my younger days as a young kid, we had a volunteer department and it was sirens the whole bit, so I'm familiar with it. What we need to do is come up with some sort of a plan that if we ever do have a natural disaster, such as a fire coming off the hill or a major fire or gasoline tanker on 160, something in the area where everyone should know, need to know about it, that would be an excellent way to hit that one or two times, and that if people have to know what's going to happen. If you hear the siren, there's a big problem, so step outside and take a look and be prepared to get out.
I like that idea.
That's fabulous.
You probably want to repeat it. If we can hit it twice, let it go quiet for a while, and hit it twice again because everybody may not catch on that first go.
Yeah, major accidents after you used to hit that part.
That was how they got the volunteers to go before they had pagers, cell phones, and all sorts of stuff they got nowadays.
I like it.
Great idea.
Okay.
Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
I have something. Chapter 25 over in Pahrump, plus a bunch of volunteers and donators would like to put a camera up on the fire station, maybe, because, and they would pay for it in the fee, because there used to be a camera with Weatherbug up on the bar. They don't have that anymore, and it only pointed to the road. It didn't really point to the highway. And there's so many commuters, and they would like to donate and then pay for a camera up on the top of the mountain.
They had contacted me a while back, and when we talked, it wasn't feasible. Like, there wasn't the right infrastructure for it.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I tried.
Now, you know,
maybe there is, yeah.
There's not one at the weather station across the street.
No, that's just an Arbus. That is... it's all computerized. There's no cameras. No. It does wind speed.
What is it that they're trying to accomplish? What is it that they want to know?
They want to know how the roads are when it's snowing, if there's backup, if there's flipped cars.
They're looking for road condition.
Well, correct. That's it.
Instantaneous road conditions,
yeah.
Up here. Okay. Makes sense. Because sometimes road gets closed up here.
Mm-hmm. I know that we wired for fast cameras because eventually. We have everything stolen out, you know, the solar boards and the computers that we had in the box, all got stolen. So I don't know that they do take any of it.
Yeah, Nick, go ahead and have them reach out to me again. It was just a few months ago, but have them reach out to me again and we'll circle back and see if anything's changed.
Okay. Cool.
Good. Any further questions or comments? And the next meeting date is July.
I made a mistake there.
Yeah.
So the next meeting would be December 14th.
Next meeting is December 14th. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
All right. All right.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you sure as hell did.
soon. Hmm?